This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, last hour of the week of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. And what a better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than to have somebody with my own namesake on the air with me. Sal Majerana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Always good to catch up, my buddy. What's going on, bud? How are you?
I am good. How you doing, Sal?
I'm doing great. The Bills end the season a couple of weeks ago. We're all, you know, in the room there. And, you know, it's a long season. I know we gather in and everything. And everything comes up so quick, right? Is that, like, for you? You've been covering this a long time. Like, how is the transition, the quick turnaround when you go that deep in the season? Like, oh, wait, now we got Combine next week. And then we got owners meetings. You got the NFL draft coming up. Like, is it just crazy for you how quickly everything goes?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had that same conversation with someone here in Rochester about how the suddenness of the season just ends,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we're sitting there with 3 minutes to go in Kansas City. And Josh Allen's got the ball in his hands, and I'm thinking to myself, he's going to go win this game, and we're going to have a Super Bowl in Buffalo, and it's going to be two more weeks of coverage, and, you know, I've got my flight for New Orleans already booked, and then, you know, we saw what happened, and all of a sudden it's over. And you get back to Buffalo, like you said. Now, I was still flying, so I wasn't there for the locker clean-out day, but then Sean and Brandon talked, and it's just crazy. You're right. How we should be preparing for a game in New Orleans, and we're talking about the end of the season. So I will say this, though. After 17 years of not making the playoffs, it's a whole lot nicer to have that suddenness happen at the end of January than the end of December. So that's a good thing.
No doubt about it. And to be quite honest with you, I know there's a bit of an excitement when it comes to a coach or GM search, but man, we had way too many of those, and you've covered far more than me. To not have to do that and to be in that mode every day, coach and GM and who's interviewing, that's also a nice departure over the last 8 years.
Oh, absolutely. Those were the worst times, Sal, you know, especially during that playoff drought. Because you remember when I started in 1990, Marv was already fully ensconced and nothing happened until he retired. And then, you know, once Wade was fired, which was one of the dumbest things Ralph Wilson ever did, then it started that hamster wheel of every, whatever it was, 3 years or so, you're going through that coach search. And then Donahoe moved on, and it's a GM search. And, yeah, I don't miss those days at all. I am very appreciative that they finally got it right with McDermott and Bean, and these guys have been there now for going on 8 years. They've set a culture. They've set a foundation of winning. And it's a nice place to be if you're a Bills fan, minus the fact that, yes, they haven't cleared that last obstacle.
Do you get as kind of, I don't know what the even word would be, when you see, and you see it, you hear it, I get it all the time from people on social media especially, but people call in who just want to move on from the head coach, especially Sean McDermott, but even Brandon Bean. And I say what you just said, which is like, do you really realize how successful they've been? Like, I don't know. What is your response when people tell you those things?
Yeah, I tell them they're all nuts is what I tell them. Seriously. I mean, I don't understand. I get why people are aggravated because they haven't even gotten past the AFC Championship game, let alone win the Super Bowl. I understand it, but I've always been stuck on the same thing, Sal, that, again, having survived a 17-year playoff drought, you have to remember and think back to all those miserable times when the Bills, we knew the Bills were irrelevant. Even when they were going 7-9 all those years, you knew they still were not going to make the playoffs, and it was a feeling of hopelessness. These guys have come in, and ever since Josh Allen ascended to a superstar in 2020, really, is when that really started, every year you go into the season knowing the Bills are going to be in this. They're going to probably win the division. They are going to be in this Super Bowl window for years and years, as long as Josh stays healthy. To me, that's comforting. As if you're a Bills fan, you should be comforted by that, to know that your team is no longer going to be called, you know, the Siberia of the NFL, Buffalo being the Siberia of the NFL. This is a legitimate franchise that's always in the mix. And I know it sucks that they haven't won the Super Bowl, but, you know, there's been a lot of winning that has gone on here. A lot of great games have happened here. We've seen incredible performances by individuals. It's really, you know, I still call the Super Bowl era the golden era of Bills football, because it was. And this team mm-hmm. hasn't reached that level yet. But this is a pretty damn good era of Bills football, Sal.
I'm assuming I know the answer to this, but when you say they haven't reached that level yet, can they still reach that level with this head coach? That's what a lot of people point to and say, well, look what happens, the defense once again, and you have this great quarterback and a defensive-minded head coach, and I think you and I both very much respect and know what Sean McDermott means and has done for this organization. But when people bring what they feel is a logical argument to say that, what do you say?
I think Sean is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He has adapted to the times, Sal. You and I both know that when, you know, those first few years, he was so uptight and everything was, you know, was paranoia central, which is the way a lot of NFL coaches are. I get that. But he has really, I think, adapted to the times. He has changed his ways. His game day management, I think his game day management has been pretty good these last few years. He's become aggressive because he knows what kind of quarterback he has and he can do those types of things. I think he's an outstanding head coach. Now, it comes down to players. We know this. You aren't going to win if you don't have the horses, and we just saw it in the Super Bowl. Kansas City did not have nearly as many horses as Philadelphia mm-hmm. did, and that was the end result of a one-sided Super Bowl. You need players. Sal, you look at the Bills roster, they have Josh Allen, who's a superstar. I would argue there is not another true game-changing difference maker on the roster on either side of the ball. So they've got to start getting the players who are those types of difference makers if they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's not just on Sean. That's on Brandon Bean, the personnel staff, the scouts. They have not done a good enough job to get this team to that final level. They've done a terrific job to put this team in place to do what it's done, which has been very impressive, but they need better players to get to that final stage.
How aggressive do you think they should be then to maybe try to get a guy like a Myles Garrett, try to get a guy like a Max Crosby? Is that the kind of move? Are those the kinds of players that you're talking about, and how aggressive should they be in those pursuits?
I think they should be very aggressive to get, you know, a Myles Garrett or a Crosby or a Trey Hendrickson, whoever, whatever name you want to throw in there that could be potentially made available this offseason. And I understand the price is going to be pretty high, and that's the problem that the Bills face, is they don't have really. I mean, you think about the draft assets they have, Sal. That number 30 pick for the Browns isn't going to mean much in the first round. Mm-hmm. They, you know, a team can come to the Browns with a much better first-round pick, a much better probably first-round pick next year if it's going to take two. You know, the Bills might have some players that they could throw in the deal. And then the salary cap issue is a real thing. People who don't say the salary cap is real, they kind of make me laugh, because the salary cap is real. And when you're paying Josh Allen as much as you are, let alone some other guys who are very high on the pay scale, it's very difficult for Brandon Bean to make a Myles Garrett contract work. So all that being said, yeah, they have to try their absolute best and put the best possible package together, and hopefully it works. I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but they have to be in on it, and I would be wholeheartedly in favor of giving up a big package if that's what it comes to.
Sal Marana joining me here on the West Her Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Marana. And by the way, writer for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, been following and covering the Bills for quite a long time, has several books he's written as well. We'll get into his Yankees love as well, but a little bit more on football and the Bills here. What do you make of this James Cook stuff that's going on right now? Where are your alarm bells, if at all, and how the Bills should proceed here?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of laughed when I saw it. Look, $15 million for James Cook is absurd. I mean, he had a great year. He was one of the best running backs in the NFL, and he was very good last year, too, in 2023. So I get where he's coming from and where his agency is trying to plant the seed with Bills management. But I'm sorry, Sal. James Cook played 45% of the snaps this year. If you're going to tell me that, you know, a guy like Saquon Barkley, who, you know, plays 80 to 85% of the snaps, or some of these other star running backs who are on the field on third downs and they're out there constantly, then I would think about James Cook. And, you know, I don't think I'd go $15 million, but he'd be in that, you know, $10 to $12 million range. But he's not that player, Sal. I mean, unless they're going to change his workload drastically next year and then look to extend him, I just don't see that being a possibility. I mean, it's absurd to ask for that kind of money. I get where he's coming from because he did have a great season. But, no, I'm not paying a running back that much. You can get running backs. I know it's an old cliche that you can find running backs everywhere, and there are guys all across the league who are proof of this. But, no, I'm not spending that much salary cap space on a running back when I know that I can get other guys to fill that role.
Yeah, and the issue, though, would be, and we know this, that Brandon Bean, one of the things he's really done well, Sal, is he hasn't had this happen to him where a lot of these teams, they go through these players with these contracts. Even Chris Jones of the Chiefs a couple years ago, right, misses the opener, right? That's not happened. Brandon Bean's done a great job of maintaining and not getting it to a contentious spot. I think the only one we've really had here is even Jordan Poyer, and that wasn't even much. He missed some OTAs, right? So how does he proceed? What does he do? Does he let this kind of maybe percolate where it could get ugly? Does he try to do what he can to extend him or say, you know what, maybe it's time that we have to look around elsewhere and see if James Cook, we can make a move?
Yeah, you've got him under contract for one more year at a bargain rate. No doubt he's on his original rookie contract. And you see where it goes, see where his representation is, maybe, you know, maybe in training camp or whatever, and see where things are. But, Sal, I'm at the point here where I let him play next season, and then if he goes to free agency and you can't get him back, then so be it. I mean, you start putting things in place right now, and in the draft, you probably draft a running back, you know, to make sure you're covered in that, because you don't know what Ty Johnson's going to do. Be nice to get him back, but he's also a free agent. I would draft a running back somewhere in the middle rounds and have a backup plan. You've already got Ray Davis here. Have a backup plan ready to go if Cook decides he wants to move on. But if you're asking me of the five guys that need extensions or are up for extensions, I think James Cook might sit last on my list of priorities.
Who would be first on that list? We're talking, by the way, so the fans know, Greg Rousseau going into his fifth-year option, then the rest of the guys, final year of their rookie deal, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, Khalil Shakir, and James Cook.
Yeah, Benford's number one. It's not even close. I mean, Benford is, I think it's criminal that he didn't even get recognition for the Pro Bowl, let alone All-Pro. I think he's a terrific player. People talk about he was the offset to the miss on Kaiir Elam because he came in the sixth round of that draft. I think he's a terrific player. You've got to lock him up. So he's number one on my list. And then if I go number two, Sal, it's a toss-up between Shakir and Rousseau. And Rousseau is going to get really expensive, which is why I think I might lean towards Shakir and then back him up with either you sign a veteran free agent or draft somebody. Because I don't think he's a true number one receiver, but he's a heck of a player to have on your team. Rousseau, look, he's been a very good player for the Bills. I'm not saying that. But do you want to step into a situation where you're going to pay him $25 million a year when I truly believe that for him to be his absolute best, they've got to have a Myles Garrett on the other side. And I make the comparison to Phil Hansen and Bruce Smith. Phil Hansen was a terrific player because he had Bruce Smith on the other side. I think Rousseau is kind of the same way. I think Rousseau would be an absolute star if you could bring in a Myles Garrett or, you know, another number one type edge rusher. So I think Shakir would actually be number two on my list ahead of Rousseau.
Last one on the Bills for you. It appears as though they've made a change at special teams coordinator. The Bills, I don't think, have officially announced it, but it appears that Chris Tabor is going to be the new special teams coordinator in favor of Matthew Smiley. This is a guy that has 13 years as a coordinator. The last two coordinators for the Bills, Smiley and Heath Farwell, were both first-timers when they got the job. But Sean did say directly, yes, when he was asked, do you expect Smiley back? That was a couple weeks ago. What do you think happened there, and why do you think they made the change, and, you know, Chris Tabor and his experience coming in?
Yeah, I think the question was phrased, are you confident that Matthew Smiley will be back? And he, at the time, he said yes. I don't think he said yes, meaning yes, he's going to be back. He said, are you confident he'll be back? He left himself just a little bit of an out there, I think, with that response. So I think what happened, Sal, is very simple. They probably got together as a staff, you know, Pegula and Bean and all the others, and they came to the conclusion that we need better, and Chris Tabor is available. And, you know, I'm sorry, you look at his resume, that's a good special teams coach. He has had a lot of success in the league, and he was available because he had gotten fired in Carolina, was out of the league last year. So I think they saw an opportunity to make a pretty significant upgrade at a key coaching position. And they went and did it. So I think it's a good move. Well, we don't know for sure. We'll see. But it looks like on paper to be a very, very nice move for the Bills.
Sal Marinaro joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Sal has a love for the Yankees, and he does it. He puts his blood, sweat, and tears into that love in a really great newsletter for any Yankee fan who's interested, any baseball fan. It's called Pinstripe People, and you can subscribe to it, and it's free, and it's awesome. You can get on the mailing list, and I get it, and it's really great. And he does such a great job. And now, of course, the Yankees, like everybody else, reporting for spring training. Are the Yankees better or worse today as a roster than they were when they ended the season in the World Series against the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think they're better, Sal.
Wow.
I was not on the
watch. That's a positive response about the Yankees from Sal M. I can't believe it.
Well, you asked me if I think they're better now than they were last year, and I think they are. I think they have a better top-to-bottom team this year because Juan Soto left, and that allowed them, if they had re-signed Juan Soto, and they apparently went almost to the 765 that he took from the Mets, which was absurd, by the way, but we can talk about that another time. Look, without spending that money on him, they upgraded at some key positions. I mean, Max Fried, you know, is outstanding. If he stays healthy, he's an outstanding starter. Devin Williams might be one of the best two or three closers in Major League Baseball, so they traded for him. Mm-hmm. They've added Bellinger, who can play first base in the outfield. Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know. He's aging. He's in decline, but he's probably going to be better on both sides of the ball than Anthony Rizzo was last year. So I like the things that they've done, and I was saying this the whole offseason until he finally signed with the Mets. I was not on board with the Soto signing because it was going to hamstring them from doing other things that they had to do to upgrade the roster. So I think they go into this thing better off this year than they were last year.
I love it. All right, I'm not going to wait. I want to get your thoughts on Soto going to the Mets. You said it was absurd. What do you think about that signing and that move for that organization?
That contract, I mean, come on. It's just ridiculous. The money that these guys are getting is just, that was just a crazy commitment by the Mets. And I understand what they were trying to do. I mean, you take them away from the Yankees. You're trying to take over New York City. I get all those things. Steve Cohen's got an endless budget. He doesn't care how much he has to pay these guys, but it is kind of crazy that he went for that much money. And quite frankly, I mean, he was great for the Yankees. You know, I mean, he was unbelievable last year. He was the reason why they got to the World Series. I mean, he was that big of an impact. But come on, he's not a good fielder. He's not a good base runner. He's an outstanding hitter. And in a few years, they're going to be paying all that money for probably a DH. And to me, you know, that's going to be probably 10 years of that career where he'll probably just be a DH. That was just a crazy expenditure. And like I said, thanks for the season. It was awesome, but I was perfectly fine moving on from him.
One of the guys that you won't have to be frustrated anymore with is Gleyber Torres. He's no longer a Yankee either.
Yeah, he provided much fodder in my newsletter every week, it seemed like. Yeah, look, Gleyber, it's too bad because when he came over originally, you remember that, I think it was 2019, whatever it was, that first season, he was just like a revelation. And I had known him because I also pay attention to the Cubs, and he had come from the Cubs organization in the Aroldis Chapman trade, which helped the Cubs win the World Series that year. Yep. So I knew a little bit about him, and he really was, at that time, projected to be a future star in MLB. And he was a good player for a while, but if there's ever been a player who needed a change of scenery, it was Gleyber Torres. So, you know, I hope he does good things for the Tigers. He's got a one-year prove-it contract, and he can go back into free agency. But I'm glad the Yankees are rid of him, for sure. There was just too many mental mistakes that drove you crazy every night.
Alex Bregman signs with the Red Sox. The Orioles have this team that I thought was going to be terrific last year, and the Yankees were better than them. It never really materialized. The Blue Jays still have quite a bit of talent, obviously. Who's the Yankees closest? The Rays, obviously, every year always seem to be right there in the mix. Who's the Yankees' closest competition in the AL East right now?
Yeah, you know what? I think that Bregman move kind of pushes the Red Sox into that spot now, because the Blue Jays, we know, they've struggled to sign players. You know, they've got the big decision on Vladdy coming up here. I don't know that they're good enough. The Rays, they're pesky and they're, you know, always there, but I don't think they have the horses either. I think the Red Sox and obviously the Orioles. I think the Orioles can bounce back, but they've got so much young talent, Sal, they're going to be good. They just screwed up by not improving their pitching staff. They really needed to make some moves in the offseason, and they didn't do it. So if all their young talent plays to what we all believe it will, they're going to be right there. But I think the Red Sox have made some really nice moves. You know, getting Bregman really helps them. You know, obviously Crochet is a terrific pitcher. They've done some nice things, and they also have, and I don't know all about their prospects, but from what I read, they've got a lot of good young kids coming up. They're going to be, you know, really good players for a long time. So we might get the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry reheated here this season.
Tell everybody where they can subscribe to Pinstripe People. I'm telling you, man, it's great. If you're a Yankee follower, you got to do this. And Sal does a great, great job of putting it together. How do people get involved with that?
Yeah, if you follow me on X, and I'll tweet it out, and you can retweet it for me, Sal.
But I will.
The post, the subscribe link is right there. You just put your email in, and you're good to go. You're on the list. So it's the top of my my X profile as my pinned tweet. But like I said, I'll put it out, and you can tweet it out for me. And
I just retweeted it for you, buddy. I just retweeted it for you as we were talking here. So I just did that. So everybody can go to Sal Sports as well if they want. If you're confused on which Sal feed to go to Sal Sports too. You'll see it. It's a great time. It says to sign up for his free Yankees newsletter. That's the best part. People love free things. This is a free newsletter, and it keeps you updated on what's going on with the Yankees. And I know you got a lot of other stuff going on as far as podcasts are concerned, books. Are you writing any more books? You've written like 30 of them.
Yeah, I'm stuck at 22. I don't see one coming down the road right now. But I'm doing still covering the team, obviously hanging out for dear life in this business. Sal, 62 years old now, so I still got a little bit of vinegar left in me, so I'm still going. But that and the Yankees keeps me pretty busy.
I love it, buddy. All right, listen, you have a great next few weeks. We'll catch up sometime in the offseason down the road. I appreciate it.
You going to be at the combine? Am I going to see you there?
I will be there. Are you going to be there? We will. We'll have to.
I'm there every year. So we'll see you over in Indy. One of my favorite towns, by the way.
It is, for sure. We'll get some shrimp cocktail together, okay?
All right, man. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it. Sal Marinaro right there. Great job. Great stuff. Check it out, man. He really does a great job with his Pinstripe People newsletter. So go and check it out. I just retweeted it, and he does a great job of kind of putting it all together, looking back at past historical Yankees stuff, current Yankees, things that are going on, and just baseball in general. So it's fun to talk baseball right now as we think about some warmth and some sunshine. And I know I'm going to have some next week when I am away from here and then back into what? It's going to be cold and snowy here next week a little bit. We're going to talk with Pat Hammer next. He's going to tell us all about it. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. I know a lot of you are you have kids that are off next week. It's winter break. Maybe you're sticking around looking for something to do. What's the weather going to be like? Pat Hamer joins us next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.